Now, what are the matters to be provided in standing order? So, these are some, you know, examples, I would say, which needs to be imbibed in the standing orders. So, that is classification of workmen, example, whether permanent, temporary, apprentice, or they are part-time, or they are badlis worker. Badli worker are those workers who are not stagnant or restricted to one factory. They may work in one factory for a day and they may go to other factory on another day. Or these type of workers are not required, you know, on day-to-day basis. Now, say for example, some workers are required to clean the overall factory. So, they might not be required for all days in a month or all days in a year. So, such kind of workers, or maybe sometimes, you know, the production has to be completed in the limited period of time. So, we require some extra workforce. So, we may appoint such badli workers. So, when we talk about standing orders, it consists of the classification of workmen that are being hired in an establishment or unit. So, how many are permanent? How many are temporary? Temporary means contract laborers. How many are apprentice? Apprentice, we have already done in detail. There are certain percentage of trainees which needs to be, hired by an employer, and the training has to be provided. So, all this classification, first of all, will be mentioned in the standing orders. Manner of information to workmen regarding the period of work, holidays, pay days, leave, wage rates, etc. So, now what is the mode? That means, whatever the rules and regulations may be, they are more, in the interest of employees. So, how this would be communicated to them? So, all those interest areas like wages, working hours, holidays, pay days. So, how we are just going to communicate it? Through displaying at different places in the establishment. Shift workings. What will be all the rules regarding the shift workings? What will be the payment for the extra shifts? Sometimes, the workers are on rotational shift. Sometimes they are being given day shifts, alternatively they are being given night shifts. So, all such details regarding the shifts, attendance and late coming, leave and holidays, requirement to enter premises by certain gates. That means in certain industries, the exit gate is different, entrance gate is different. In exit gate, a proper check is being done whether the worker is not stealing anything or is not taking any important information, etc. So, all these will be mentioned in such standing orders. Section 4 talks about conditions for certification of standing orders. Now, when we talk about a draft, that is a raw draft which needs to be certified. So, here in Section 4, all those conditions which are being required or which needs to be fulfilled to get your draft standing order certified. Standing orders shall be certifiable under this Act if provision is made therein for every matter set out in the schedule which is applicable to the industrial establishment. Now, we here understand that for better understanding, we consider this schedule to be the list of areas wherein rules and regulations needs to be drafted. So, for example, the schedule is nothing but list of areas where the standing orders needs to be drafted. Some of them we have earlier, we have seen in the earlier slide, they are regarding the leaves, working hours, shifts, etc. So, it has to be aligned to whatever the list of areas which is mentioned in the schedule, it has to be aligned with that. The standing orders are otherwise in conformity with the provision of this Act, and it shall be the function of the certifying officer or appellate authority to adjudicate upon the fairness or reasonableness of the provision of any standing orders. Now, here when we are talking about, several acts which are being passed, several labor laws which are being passed for, protecting the interest of the employees. So the standing order has to abide all those acts and you know needs to be drafted. Now certain cases, if we see, the minimum fulfillment of that act becomes compulsory, whether you know the employer wants to implement or not. Now we take an example. Say for example, the maternity leave which are being amended now to 24 weeks. Earlier it was 12 weeks, now it is 24 weeks. So, you know, wherever it is applicable to those establishments which hire, you know, 10 or more employees. So, say for example, this is mandatory, this is compulsory now to give 24 weeks holiday. But then minimum criteria is 24 weeks. But then if the employer wish to go beyond this minimum criteria and would like to offer something more than what the minimum criteria are being set, will always be allowed, and that consists the part of standing order. So that will be definitely allowed to give something extra than the limitations which are set by the law. Section 5 talks about certification of standing orders. On receipt of the draft under section 3, the certifying officer shall forward a copy thereof to the trade union, if any, of the workmen. Now, as we have discussed that this is more of negotiation and consultation type of you know, terms of employment to be created. So, now your employer has already given a draft on what will be the provisions, rules, regulations regarding the areas concerned in schedule. Once this is being received, this will be forwarded by the certifying officer to the trade union. Now, if there is any trade union, it will be forwarded to the trade union, if there, if any, in the establishment. Where there is no such trade union, to the workmen in such manner as may be prescribed, together with a notice in the prescribed form requiring objections, if any. Now, in case there is no trade union, then what will be the procedure is already prescribed by this act. So, following such prescribed procedure, this standing order, the draft will be, you know, forwarded to the employees, and it will be requested to them with a notice given in it that if there are any objections, they need to be submitted. The draft standing objections, if any, which the workmen may desire to make to the draft standing orders, to be submitted to him within 15 days from the receipt of the notice. That means we here just understand the process now. The employer has drafted a standing order and submitted in 5 copies to the certifying officer. Once the certifying officer has received this, he will further verify, you know, the standing orders, whether they are aligning with the act and provisions made with respect to the interest of employees or not. If not, that will be, you know, communicated to the employer to rectify it so. If it is done, it is being acceptable, the further step would be the certifying officer will send this to the trade union, if any. If there are no trade unions, then in a prescribed manner to set of employees. Now, your set of employees or workmen has to go through this standing order, and in case if they have any objection, then that has to be reported or communicated or submitted to the certifying officer within 15 days of receipt of some such draft standing orders. After giving the employer and the trade union or such other representatives of the workmen as may be prescribed an opportunity of being heard, that means here the opportunity is being given if there is any objection that needs to be communicated. The certifying officer shall decide whether or not any modification of or an addition to the draft submitted by the employer is necessary to render the draft standing order certifiable under this act, and shall make an order in writing accordingly. That means the procedure says that a fair chance is being given to the employees as well, whether they you know, want to communicate, whether they don't want to disagree to some of the points mentioned in the standing order, or they want to add something more to it without disturbing the other points in it. So there are varieties of choices being given here to the employee, but then the final decision maker will be certifying officer. If he feels so that such an amendment or such alteration is needed to be made in standing order, he may do it. The certifying officer shall thereupon certify the draft standing orders. After all this is being done, ultimately when everything is being heard, resolved, or added, altered, finally now here he will certify the standing order. After making any modification therein which his order under subsection 2 may require, and shall within 7 days thereafter send copies of the certified standing order authenticated in the prescribed manner and for his order under subsection 2 to the employer and to the trade union or other prescribed representatives of workmen. So after making all those modifications which are required, ultimately now the officer is certifying the standing orders. That means now the standing orders, which were earlier called as draft standing orders, after the authentication means all those stamps, signs which are being required. So after that will be called as certified standing orders. And after certifying this, within 7 days of time, copies will be sent to trade union, if there are any trade union, or to the group of employees or representative of employees as prescribed, and one copy will reach to the employer. Now, according to section 6, any employer, workmen, trade union, or other prescribed representatives of the workmen aggrieved by the order of the certifying officer under subsection 2 of section 5 may within 30 days from the date on which copies are sent under subsection 3 of that section appeal to the appellate authority, and the appellate authority, whose decision shall be final, shall by order in writing confirm the standing orders. Now here we talk further about, now say the certifying officer has made some modifications, but then any of the party, that may be employer, workman, or trade union, or other representatives of employee, find it aggrieved, that means not acceptable, they may go and approach the appellate authority. Appellate authority is the higher authority in hierarchy. When we see, it is a higher authority than the certifying officer. But in this case, when this matter is taken to the appellate authority, they may do certain screening, and then finally whatever the judgment or final the outcome would be in the hand of appellate authority, and both the parties will be binding to it. Shall by order in writing confirm the standing orders either in the form certified by the certifying officer or after amending the said standing orders by making such modification. That means there may be two possibilities when any of the party approach the appellate authority. There may be two possibilities. One may be the appellate authority may give due consideration to the party who wants to make modification in the standing order, or he may reject it and continue with the standing order which is being certified by the certifying officer. So these are the two situations which may arise, but in any of the case it will be the final decision or the standing order which will be passed by the appellate authority and which will be binding on employer and employee. Additions thereto as it thinks necessary to render the standing orders certifiable under this act. According to section 7, date of operation of standing orders. Now once date of operations or implementations, we would say, once the standing orders are being passed, now these needs to be implemented. When it will be implemented, how it will be implemented. Unless an appeal is preferred under section 6 come into operation on the expiry of 30 days from the date. So within the date of the certification, within 30 days from the date, it has to be operated or implemented, on which authenticated copies thereto are sent under subsection 3 of section 5, or where an appeal as foresaid is preferred, on the expiry of 7 days from the date on which copies of the order of the appellate authority, subsection 2 of section 6. What shall be the duration and modification of the standing order? Standing orders finally certified under this act shall not, except on agreement between the employer and the workmen or a trade union or other representative body of the workmen. Now in the case, you know, once the standing orders are being certified, so now that comes into force or that comes into operation. But sometimes, you know, over a period of time, it is being felt by both the parties, employer and employee, that there needs to be such modification made in the standing order. So that can be made, but the only clause which is being binded here is both the parties should be agreed on it. It should not be only employer who wants to make this modification, or it should not be only employee who wants to make modification in any of the clause of standing orders. It should be both the party mutually agreeing to it, and then such modifications may take place. Be liable to be modification until the expiry of 6 months from the date on which the standing orders or the last modification thereof came into operations. What are the penalties and procedures? An employer who fails to submit draft standing orders as required by section 3 or who modifies his standing orders otherwise that in accordance with the section 10 shall be punishable with fine which may extend to 5,000 rupees and in the case of continuing offense with a further fine which may extend to 200 rupees for every day after the first during which the offense continues. So here first what they have told is, earlier when we came to know that an employer has to send a draft standing order to the certifying officer. So certain day limits are being given to the employer. If the employer fails to submit such drafts, then penalty will be imposed on him. In second case, wherein he has sent the draft, but then he makes some amendments to the actual certified standing orders, he modified himself and has not gone through the proper process, so if it is found that he has made certain modifications in the standing order without the concern authorities signing it or certifying it, then he may be charged to penalties or procedures. Or he may be charged 5,000 rupees for first time, and if he is continuing with the same offense, then for that 200 for each day till he is continuing the offense. Interpretation etc. of standing orders. Now see, when the standing orders are being drafted and now the final certified standing orders are being received and agreed by both the parties, it is not enough to draft and certify the standing orders, but this needs to be communicated to all the parties who are affected by the standing orders. If any question arises as to the application or interpretation of a standing order certified under this act, any employer or workman or a trade union or other representative body of the workmen may refer the question to any of the labor courts. Now, what is a question over here? Now, when we talk about question, there are some confusions. Once the standing order is being certified, there may be a situation arising wherein there are some confusions in the standing orders. So now, there is some query or there is some questions on how to go about it. So if there are any such queries, questions or doubts arising of the standing orders, they may approach to the labor court and specified for the disposal of such proceedings by the appropriate government by notification in the official gazette. And the labor court to which the question is so referred shall, after giving the parties an opportunity of being heard, decide the question, and such decision shall be final and binding on the parties. Now, whenever this question or query has arisen, maybe from employer or employee, And that query, the resolvement of query, you know, may be in more of interest of employees or maybe in more interest of employers. So here they can approach to the labor code, and whatever the proceeding methods are being already, you know, prescribed by the appropriate government. So now the procedures will be followed, both the parties will be heard by the court, and then finally the question may be resolved, which may be in the favor of employer or it may be in the favor of employee, but that will be final and binding. Model standing orders in respect of industrial establishment not being industrial establishment in coal mines are given in Schedule 1. So here we are talking about the coal mines, all those industrial establishment with regards to coal mines. Now there are certain extra rules, regulations and acts which are passed you know, with respect to coal mines, which are being given in Schedule 1. So we have spoken about all those establishments which are under the coverage of this act, why there is a need of such standing orders, and how will this help to bring in industrial peace and harmony between the employer and employee. Thank you very much.